Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerluxe's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerluxe partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxevip.com. Manchester, Zana Roberts-Rassi rose through the ranks at Marie Claire before emigrating to New York as fashion editor of their US edition. Moving from print to broadcasting, she became the style correspondent for E! News, a mentor on Project Runway All-Stars, as well as consulting for American retail giant Target. Adding a further string to her bow, Zana is most recently co-founder of the multi-award-winning Milk Makeup. Zana, welcome to your Sheerluxe success story.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to be here in our room in London.
I know that bed is looking rather appealing now.
We literally have a full-post
anyway, we've got a job to do before we can think about that. Let's start with university. Mm-hmm. You grew up in Manchester.
I grew up in Manchester, went to college there, and then left at 19 years old and came to London to pursue a kind of a pipe dream of becoming an editor of some kind, a journalist of some kind. I didn't really know it was beauty, but I fell across a shoot and I met a beauty editor and I blagged my way in and said, I'll be an intern, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And she offered me the chance to be an intern, work experience, as we say here.
And that was at Look magazine.
That was a Looks magazine, yeah. Becky Field was the editor and I love her, I still do. But she took a chance and she's like, this girl seems really eager to do anything we need her to do. And I suppose I really used that background in the psychology as well to understand and research beauty more, because as we all know, they're very closely intertwined.
So from your internship, you ended up getting a role as beauty assistant at Marie Claire. What had you done previously that you think got you that job at Marie Claire?
I was very, very eager and extremely willing to do absolutely anything. I really believe that was it. And it was nice. I wasn't precocious. I was very, very gracious. I would do projects. I remember one that we were writing a feature on red lipstick and I literally spent all weekend researching it, putting together a folder, printing everything out, talking to makeup artists who didn't even know, like cold calling people, writing about the past, the history of red lipstick, the psychology of it, like literally like a dissertation. I was like, this is a great opportunity. And I knew something in me was like, this is fun as well. It wasn't hard work. I just really enjoyed doing it. And then handed it in. And I think that effort never goes unnoticed.
No, absolutely. So the Marie Claire job, how did that come about?
I heard about the job. It was swirling around the industry as things do. And we were like, oh, there's a beauty assistant job going. And it was the girls at Looks. Becky and Kelly said, you should go for that. And I was like, okay, then. I think at the time I was like planning on traveling to Australia to just go travel or something, take a year off. I went and met with Susanna Cohen, who was the beauty director there. And she was so lovely, so chic. I was terribly intimidated by her, but she was very sweet. And I remember leaving, getting on a train back to Manchester to see my mom and dad with a copy of Marie Claire in my hand. And she called me literally 2 hours later and said, if you want the job, it's yours. And I was just completely floored. It was like a dream come true that I didn't even know was a dream.
And had fashion and beauty always been what you'd dreamt of doing?
I was very interested. I was very eager. My mum worked in retail. My grandparents had a tailor's in Manchester. So I suppose it was in there somewhere. And I used to always pore over the, you know, my mum's Vogues, which she kept absolutely every single one of them. But I was just interested in reading and then imparting information and learning and researching and then imparting information in some way, shape or form. So the editorial and the magazine came quite naturally.
And what do you remember the most from your time spent as beauty assistant at Marie Claire?
Oh my gosh, so many things. Going to your first launch, you'd be there in a room full of really established beauty editors and say it was one that Susanna couldn't attend, so I'd be there and it would be in a beautiful hotel room and all these fabulous people and delicious snacks and champagne, and I'd be sat there going, what's the story in this? What's the story I can take back for Suzanne? Like,
always looking for the angle.
Yeah, I suppose that came quite naturally early on because it was like, how's this going to be interesting to the person reading the magazine?
And that stayed with you?
Absolutely. Until today, it's like, even if I'm doing a segment on TV, like, what's the angle for the viewer? If I'm doing something in makeup, what's the takeaway for her? It's not just about what we can sell.
Absolutely. So, beauty assistant at Marie Claire to fashion editor in the US edition of Marie Claire.
Yes.
You go literally from beauty assistant to fashion editor?
No, I went from beauty assistant and over 5.5 years made my way up to acting beauty director. So it was quite a speedy climb, but so inspiring, so formative for everything that I went to do there on after. You know, I learned about, obviously, writing. I learned about everything in beauty. I learned all the big players in the industry. I learned how to style a shoot. I learned how to call in clothes. I learned how to book a photographer, all this production side. So it was the best schooling anyone could have ever wished for. I didn't realize at the time, only when I moved, I was like, oh, wow, I know a thing or two.
And how easy was it to go from beauty to fashion?
Well, when I was doing beauty, we're in the days of, you know, 10 pages of beauty, and I would always style them in a fashion way. So you'd have a crazy, amazing neon eye makeup, and then there would be lots of fashion accessories, tops. And so I was very interested in that side of it. And then as a beauty editor, I was styling covers as well. So I was styling celebrities. I remember Anne Hathaway early on in my career. I think it did David Beckham back in the day. I think that was one of my first big shoots. But it was closely entwined. So when I did move, the job came up as fashion editor in the US. They said they'd seen my stuff in book and they knew I could do fashion. And so that to me was like, oh, okay, I can. Okay, great. And it's quite different in the US. They have a whole market department that pull the clothes, that go out on appointments, that find all the product. Like, you just come up with a concept and they basically source all the goods. And, you know, then you have a photo department who helps book. You have a model booker who books the models, where I was used to being a one-trick pony and doing all of this myself. So it was very refreshing, but also I had to really mind myself because I didn't want to step on anyone's toes. And I'm sure I did when I first arrived, because I was like, oh, I know this photographer will shoot this. And I've got this great model who will probably shoot this. And I've got this agency contact. And yeah, I think I probably overstepped my boundaries a few times when I arrived.
And so you arrived and you were what age at this point?
26.
So 26. And had the US always been a bit of a dream?
Always. I loved going to New York on press trips. I remember Bobby Brown taking me there. I remember Maybelline taking me there. I would always be the first one to raise my hand in. There was myself, Susanna Cohen, and Nicola Moulton, who was beauty director at Vogue and now incredible in the beauty industry. But literally a trip to New York would come up and they'd look at me and be like, okay, Zanna. I remember one of the first ones they sent me on was with MAC to interview Diana Ross, which was crazy cool, but also petrifying when you're like 25 and you're like, I've never done this before. I remember John Dempsey sitting opposite me in the Carlisle Hotel and just talking about the product. And I just could not take my eyes off Diana Ross's hair. I was just like, this is an icon. No, remember what you've got to ask. Remember what your question is. Remember, it seems like it was not.
That's one of those moments.
Yeah,
it?
Totally.
So you were fashion editor in the US for how long?
4 and a bit years.
And what happened after those 4 and a bit years?
The idea of beauty journalism never went far away from me. And I loved the idea of takeaway. And fashion was great, shooting all these beautiful clothes and beautiful models and beautiful locations. But there was something about it. It didn't feel like I was giving back enough. It didn't feel like I was giving enough information or being relatable enough. I think Girl from Manchester was always in me. And I was like, I didn't grow up with, you know, designer clothes all around me. And I know everyone in the office didn't walk around like that. So how can we help them do the high-low thing? So, you know, I would be pitching, let's do under 100 pages. Let's do shop the shoot pages for affordable. Let's do models of plus sizes. And we did, and we started shooting real people, and I really loved it. I found that I was then, you know, casting these people, women I knew, really inspirational women who had amazing careers as well as look fantastic in clothes, loved fashion, and had something additional to offer as opposed to just a beautiful model on a set, which is also very gorgeous.
And you moved into broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did that come along?
So that was kind of the offshoot of doing all this takeaway content in the magazine. There was the thought always, that kind of came naturally. And someone said, would I do a segment on, it was the Today Show, about fashion. It was like under 100 or 50 shoes under 50 or something like that. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Went on, did it. Apparently I was okay at it because he kept on inviting me back and like, do you have any ideas? And I was like, do I have any ideas? I lit like, I'm an editor. My currency is ideas. You know, I have to churn out new ways of reinventing fashion and beauty every week. So I would just bombard them with all these like, oh, why don't we do this then? Why don't we do this segment? Why do this? It just took off. And then from there I got a contract. I was Today Show contributor. And then it moved into the celebrity world a little bit after that when I started working with E! It was good because when I was interviewing celebrities, they trusted me because of my background. I wasn't a gotcha journalist. I wasn't someone like trying to get a scoop story. Yeah. There was a trust there and there was an ease there if I was doing it on a red carpet or if Kate Hudson was launching a new line of fashion.
So were you...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Broadcasting at the same time as working for Marie Claire?
I was, yes. And it was a lot because I was doing more and more for TV stuff. I would be called upon more and more to do that. But also my job at Marie Claire was growing at the same time. And I had a team and I had pages to fill and shoots to do. And it came the point where I was like, ah, crap, I got to make a decision here. Maybe it's just time to transition my knowledge, my experience, my expertise into broadcasting because I really loved it. And it was something new and different.
And how did the US respond to you? Because, you know, there are lots of Brits on TV in the US now. What was the response like to a girl from Manchester, in your words, on TV in the US?
It was lovely. You know, there's a definite point of an English accent will get you far, but then you have to have the goods, right? You have to have the personality, you have to have the knowledge. And everyone was so lovely. And I think maybe coming out of magazines, editorial, into this TV world, it was very nice, very sweet.
So you closed the door, you left Marie Claire behind.
I did.
And embarked full-time on your broadcasting career. You won an Emmy.
E! News, we won, and it was when I was contracted with them, so it was for all of our coverage, and we won an Emmy. Yeah.
I mean, was that a pivotal moment in your career?
It's
being
funny.
Linked to that?
I mean, you get told, and then we're all like, woo, great celebration. I'm in New York, so the office is in LA, so I think the big celebration really happened there. And then all of a sudden, you just get a certificate in the mail, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I probably should frame this.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's
incredible.
Great.
So you left Marie Claire in 2012 to focus full-time on broadcasting. And it was then another 4 years until you launched Milk.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that four-year period. What were you doing?
Oh, so it was a lot of TV stuff and a lot of freelance styling. So I would work with an agency, The Wall Group, and they would basically farm me out on shoots, you know, and I would be a stylist to start with, then move more into the creative direction role because being an editor, you art directing as well, you're picking the teams. So I would consult for brands. I worked a lot with Victoria's Secret back in the day when they were kind of changing their magazine, their catalog, you know, the classic catalog, into more of an editorial format. So I helped them turn that into a magazine. And then I subsequently worked with Target. I love them so much. They're a great client. I style all their TV commercials. I style all their print, all their digital. Yeah, I style like up front of each season. So then all that, those looks then trickle down on all the different platforms.
Well, that's where time you've got.
Oh my gosh.
So 2016, Milk.
Mm-hmm.
You'd met your husband in...
I'd met him before any of this happened. I met him when I was still in London as a beauty editor. And then we did 2 years transatlantic and then I moved to New York.
So for people who are listening who aren't familiar with Milk Studios, tell us exactly what the concept is, what the business is.
Totally. So Milk Studios was built 23 years ago in the meatpacking downtown New York. It was essentially a photographic studio. So everyone from, you know, Patrick D'Amashelia was shooting there, from Vogue magazines, for Victoria's Secret campaigns, to all the big biggest and the best in the industry back then. Calvin Klein would do his show there. It was a real hub. Since then, it's grown into this creative community that really lives there. So it's kind of a melting pot of celebrities, musicians, artists. And it's just such a great moment. It's like everyone's finished the shoots, we're all having a beer, drink, whatever, and just chatting. And it's a great like creative community. And then downstairs at Milk is the gallery where we show the most incredible photography exhibitions. So it could be Sam Haskins, or it could be Alexei Lubomirsky we just did, or it could be an up-and-comer like Next Gen. We're big about supporting the next generation of talent. And then downstairs below that, which is my favorite part, is the jam room. So this was built by Rossi and the team at Milk for the employees, really, because a lot of them played instruments. They're all really cool dudes and girls, like, hanging out. And they're like, let's go jam out in this jam room. It's turned into the hottest spot in New York. I mean, you can't just go and have a party there, but it's basically, like, it's completely tagged. It's got all drums, guitars, the whole kit. Bands play down there, like ASAP's performed down there. Gary Clark Jr.'s performed down there. Patti Smith used to record down there. Poppy had her birthday there the other day. It's just nuts. It's such, okay. It's like an underground hidden thing.
So Rossi is your husband. He founded Milk, created Milk.
Yep.
And together you created Milk Beauty.
There was myself, Rossi, and our two co-founders, Georgie Greville, who's a creative director, and Diana Ruth, who creates all the magical products you see. She basically turns all our nuts ideas into tangible products.
And who came up with the concept?
Rossi and I were talking about makeup back when I was a beauty editor, so 12 years ago. We would email about it. I'd laugh about it, saying, you need something like this. He knew he would want to do some kind of consumer product, but he didn't want to do a studio line. He didn't want it to be like a MAC, I suppose, in a way. He did a lot of work with MAC, and John Dempsey was incredible with us, and he's been an amazing mentor. But we always knew we had this community, and they were very cultural, creative, street style based. So it wasn't really about high fashion, and it wasn't really about beauty. It was just about makeup and fun and self-expression and how you can live your look and how you do makeup in a quirky way. Like, we'd see all the different looks coming in. It was like one girl with yellow eyebrows, another girl with like tats all over her body, someone else with a crazy red lipstick. And it was so playful. And we just realized we had like a walking Pinterest page of ideas for makeup. Every single person had a different vibe. So it was really street style of beauty that we then applied. And we had obviously Milk community to back it.
So you went out and got these other two co-founders to join you. And this was in 2016.
All this started, I want to say, 2014. And Georgie has been at Milk from the get-go. She's an OG Milk girl. And Diana joined just after we'd pitched to Sephora, because we pitched this great idea. Georgie, myself, and Rossi flew to San Francisco, went to Sephora, had this great idea, a deck, loads of passion and enthusiasm.
And no samples.
And no product.
No product.
Not one.
To Sephora, no product.
I mean, they realized that we were talking about this white space that they wanted to tap into, though. They realized they were very smart, and they realized we're talking about next generation. We're talking about clean beauty. We're talking about the things that weren't really inclusiveness, which wasn't really talked about 4 years ago. 5 years ago.
So we're talking cruelty-free, paraben-free, 100% vegan, gender-neutral.
Yep.
I mean,
everything
you
neutral.
Name it, yeah. This product ticks the box, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, all those things usually come with quite a worthy brand, right? So you're going to be vegan, you're going to be worthy, you're going to be clean, but can you still be cool? And we wanted to get rid of all that, like, green granola-y nonsense that has to be attached to good beauty. So we wanted the best ingredients with epic payoff and cool, clean packaging that you were proud to pull out of your bag. It was kind of like, you know, oh, she's got Milk. Oh, God, he's got Milk. That's cool.
And what brands were around that you were inspired by?
It was funny. We looked a lot outside the beauty industry. Muji, just the packaging of that, and the Japanese and this cleanliness and the pared back of all that utilitarian packaging was a big influence for us. RMS Cosmetics, Rosemary Swift, she's incredible. She's a makeup artist and she does all naturals. You know, she was definitely a friend of ours and someone who, from the vegan perspective, inspired us. And then we'd look at things like Apple and Tesla and be like, how are they doing this? How are they reinventing this industry? Because we always knew that we wanted to kind of reinvent beauty, not reinvent the girl.
And what was the market like at the time? I mean, there's been so much innovation. I mean, beauty is the most fast moving category there is, really. But the innovation that we've seen in the last few years has just been phenomenal.
Yeah,
rewind a few years. What was it looking like then?
I mean, Diana and her team, when we were launching, like, brand new brand, right? Straight out the gate. bay, Sephora, one bay. She's like, oh, I have 120 SKUs to launch with. And we're like, what? That's just ridiculous. Like, no new brand should come out of the game with that many products. So we paired it back to 80, which is still crazy, but they have so many ideas. She's always somebody who's looked ahead. She did Bliss Cosmetics. She did Hard Candy. She was involved in a lot of like the Marc Jacobs stuff. And she's never one to settle for anything that already exists. And her whole philosophy is what's next. So even if today, you know, some people come out with the same products that we've got, it doesn't bother her. She's like in the next year already. She's like, oh, well, I was working on that 2 years ago.
And that's one of the things I read about you, that you said that you will never produce a product that somebody else has.
And that's Diana's ethos. She's like, she has a long list of no's, but one of her biggest no's is we will never produce something that already exists. Why? The world doesn't need another eyeliner. So it took a long time to master the perfect gel eyeliner. The world doesn't need another mascara. So we launched Kush, which is a hemp-derived cannabis-infused mascara, which is really great for lashes and gives you the biggest lashes you've ever seen.
And talk to us about your target market. You know, you are famed for your gender-neutral campaigns that you launched with. Who's the target market you talked about? Gen Z,
yeah. I mean, we were probably thinking like 18 to 30. It skewed a lot younger initially. But then you looked at the three females, the co-founders, myself, Georgie, and Diana. And we were all mid-30s with kids under five. Between the four of us, we have five kids under three when we launched. So there was an element of we want to do this for, yes, an old, this like middle age, yes, younger. It doesn't really matter. It's all about a mindset and a person who wanted great ingredients, epic payoff, and something that was cool. Just because we're over 30 doesn't mean to say that we wanted like some old granny makeup.
Life is not over in your 30s, right? Is it? Talk to me about what your sales were like at the beginning. So you launched in Sephora, 80 SKUs, you said.
Yeah.
And what was the uptake like, and how did you get people talking about the brand?
Social media, word of mouth was great at first. We did have the most epic launch party you've ever had. We took over the gallery at Milk Studios and we had Salt and Pepper play.
Oh.
I mean, it was, and then Zoe Kravitz and we had, and Licky Lee. We basically had three generations of killer women. Like, we would just like bring them on in. So it was all like this female empowerment moment from the get-go before everyone else was honestly really doing it. It just took off. I have no idea, rhyme or reason, but there was a definite need. There was a gap in the market and there was a consumer out there who was hungry for something cool and clean.
So big name party, social media, and what, you've got someone posting crazy pictures on social media. How are the followers coming?
It's funny, we didn't really engage influencers from the off the bat because none of us really knew that world very well. And it was interesting because we didn't even have a market director until a year into the launch. Like, I'd be sat there with Georgie, we'd be writing press releases, we'd be doing all the brochures, we'd be all in getting naming products, we'd be writing the editorial copy, we'd be doing the desk size. And then we probably realized a year and a half, 2 years in, that we needed a market to... you know, a CMO would be good. But yes, we launched, we were in Sephora. It started selling. I mean, they were the days we would be so excited about selling hundreds of one SKU in a week. And then it turned into thousands of one SKU in a week. And then, you know, hundreds of thousands of a SKU in a week, which is just nuts.
And that kind of snowball effect that you experienced, you think that was coming out of social, that was coming out of this demand from a customer. There must have been things that you were doing that were really getting people talking about.
Well, we would definitely do content that would push boundaries. We had a video called Blur the Lines, and it was all the guys in makeup. They were basically didn't identify with any gender, and that was a very viral piece of content that Georgie directed, and it was incredible. Blur the Lines, you can still look it up. Mm-hmm. We would have, you know, girls and guys in our first campaign kissing. You couldn't tell which was the girl, which was the guy. Straight guys wearing makeup. It was a moment, and it was very New York, and it was very real. You can't fake that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's either happening or it's not, and it's because I truly believe we weren't four marketers sat around a table saying, what can we sell today? You know, sat in our ivory tower. It was just like, what do we need? It was working women, mums, guys, what do we really want in our makeup bags?
And sales at the beginning were coming via Sephora, but also online. You launched a transactional site on day one. How did that go? How did you get that off the ground and transacting?
God, launching a website is not easy, is it? Especially when you're selling. I mean, it worked. We had thousands of people on a waiting list for a couple of weeks before we even launched. We had this massive countdown. And then it didn't crash, which is great. We had some great people in the business helping us as well, because you remember, Rusty has built Milk Studios and they have a lot of offshoot companies. So they kind of know what they were doing in that world.
To the right people. Pretty,
yeah, we lucked out.
And how did you get the press writing about the product? I mean, clearly the product stands up for itself. Yeah. and you've got the background to know what to do and how to speak to them. But was that an easy piece of the puzzle? It sounds like it's kind of a dream.
The press was the easiest because I obviously, like you said, you know, I knew that we were very well connected. We were kind of beloved. Mill Studios was known. The products were eminently photographable, like so beautiful to look at. So people wanted to shoot them for their digital publications or in book. And we were trusted. We had integrity and we still do. And that's something that's extremely important.
And who are your big competitors today?
I don't know. I mean, if you ask Diana and Rossi this and Georgie, they'll be like, we don't even look outside. We're like charging ahead. You know, they just see the next. I mean, there's so many great brands out there today. I love Glossier. I love RMS. I love Rimmel. If I come back to, you know, I love the old days of that. So I think there's room for everyone. Yes, it's a busy market, but there is room for everyone.
Do you feel the pressure, though, to keep innovating? Because it's not an evolution, it's a revolution. You know, it is moving so quickly.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you can't stand still for a minute?
For Diana and her team, no, they can't. They are so nimble with launches, but then they're also working on long lead launches. So they'll be working on something they're going to drop in 6 months' time, 2 months' time, and then 2 years down the line. You know, what's the next iteration of whatever? It's the growth of the product's incremental in many ways, but then if you want to launch those like blinding, brand new, zero to hero products like Kush Mascara, it takes a lot of planning, it takes a lot of foresight, and it takes people who are really smart and know what they're doing.
Yeah. And obviously innovation is key, but you also need to build out your kind of cult products, don't
yeah.
you? What are those products that are driving the big bulk of sales? And if you haven't explored Milk Beauty yet and you were going to say, right, these are the ones,
right,
everyone, you know.
I would say Kush Mascara, try it. It contains hemp-derived cannabis oil, as I said, and it is super nourishing for your lashes, but it gives them really high, pun intended, volume. It contains hemp-derived cannabis oil instead of beeswax because we're a vegan brand. So we would never put beeswax as a binding agent in a mascara like most brands do. I would also say try our sticks. So lip and cheeks are the best. There's 6 shades right now and they are easy to go in the bag. Huge fills of delicious mango and avocado butters. Then they're all blush sticks. Pop them on the cheeks, lips, eyes, you name it. And a third one would be, for me personally, Flex Concealer. It is a concealer that actually bends with your face. So as the day goes on, it doesn't sit in any fine lines. It keeps on moving. We call it Band-Aid technology in America. It's a bestseller for a good reason. It contains marshmallow root, gives it this springy texture. So you pop it on and it just stays on. You know, it doesn't seep in. And it also contains chamomile. So if you've got any blemishes, zits, spots, pop that on and it'll calm them.
Sounds great. Talk to me about the success of your multitasking products. We read about them a lot at the moment.
Yeah. We live in a very fast-paced world. Women want to simplify everything in life without sacrificing. So multi-purpose products that actually work are so important to us. The sticks, the rollerball pens, things that you can just throw in your bag and go. You don't want stuff that's going to break in the bottom of your bag. We have a Sunshine Oil, which is like a rollerball click pen, which is actually made from a diabetic's pen. The idea of the same thing came from the packaging of that. So it's got glass rollerball, but plastic container. 7 natural essential oils. You can take it anywhere with you. It's not going to smash in your bag and it's just like the perfect on the go. So things like that component was built in. I like to call it beautility. So it's beauty meets utility. So it's very utilitarian in look, in texture and in feel and efficacy.
Talk to me a bit more about the size of the business, the structure of the business, you know, how you're coping with the expansion. I mean, to say this has happened quickly is an understatement. You're based in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Your customers are in the UK, in the US, but presumably all over the world.
Yeah, they are. And it's growing rapidly. We launched in the UK at the beginning of this year. January, we did a pop-up in Covent Garden. We had 5,000 people through the door of those 2 days. We had a 17,000 person wait list at Cult Beauty, where we're sold here in the UK. And a 500 person line outside the store the morning we actually opened. Like, literally, my husband and I walked around the corner in Covent Garden to see this line wrap around the block a few times. We both burst into tears. We're like, this is a dream. I can't believe this is happening. But it goes back to your idea of like the cult product. And on the back of that success, obviously we want to launch Europe and it will be coming the end of the year.
So at the moment, you have offices in New York,
mm-hmm.
offices in London,
mm-hmm.
and Europe is next.
We have New York as our HQ and we have London here. We have our amazing beauty PR here, Beauty Scene. And Europe's next. Yeah, my gosh, it's a lot to do.
And how big is the core team? How big is the head office
75 team? Right now. And that's including our field team. So they're literally the boots on the street who are at all the Sephora's and they're teaching all of the beauty assistants in Sephora all about the brand, and they travel the country.
And what does the future for Milk look like? Is it just lots more makeup product innovation? Is it skincare? Is it
so much, right?
No limits.
That's the thing. There are no limits. I never say no to anything. But right now we're focusing obviously on ingredient stories, great, good, clean makeup that has epic payoff. And also infusing skincare with makeup. That's something that's always been very dear to us. You know, you look at the ingredients and it's always about mango butters, avocado butters, delicious rices. We're just launching marshmallow. Like, it almost like sound edible, but it's very important to us that those ingredients also have skincare benefits. There's no silicones, there's no dimethicones, that we're completely vegan. We never want to do anything for your skin that's bad. It's only good stuff. And that is the future of skincare. It's the future of makeup, and the two combined, it's going to be a hybrid moment.
What have been the moments that you've been the most proud of in the Milk Beauty journey, other than so the queue many. Around the block?
That was a pretty epic moment.
What have been the moments when you've gone, wow, this is mega exciting. This is
so many. From the moment, you know, you have a grand opening party in the gallery at Milk and you see Salt and Pepper and Spinderella, that's epic. Then you go to Sephora in Ohio and I'm talking to a girl at a gondola who's saying she lives by Milk makeup, highlighter, and lit. That to me is so special. That's as special as seeing, you know, 500 people line up around the block, because those moments with those real people, or you're just in a toilet and someone pulls out a Milk makeup product, I'm literally drawn to tears every time I see it. Or people writing, DMing. I got a handwritten note the other day from a student, and that to me is the most fulfilling part, and you're actually helping real people every single day.
Talk to me about you as a mother, as a wife, and here you are in London, away from your family. How are you managing it all? I mean, I know you've had a busy life, a successful career, but the pace of this, it must have come as a bit of a shock.
It's busy, yeah. You know that you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, and we have, obviously, two amazing girls, Rumi and Juno, and their 5-year-old twins. We launched Milk Makeup when they were one. It was a hell of a year. But it's about having a great team. We've got an amazing nanny who you don't realize how much you rely on. The idea that they walk in at 8 a.m. every day, I will never take that for granted, because that makes me be able to travel to New York, to travel to England, to travel around the world, to go to work all day and not worry. I mean, that is just priceless. The kids are amazing. I mean, you know, I wish it was very zen and all. We all like hang out together all the time, but it's chaos. It's nuts. Like, there's always a suitcase in the hallway. One of us is leaving, one of us coming. Right now, Rossi's in Vegas doing a whole thing for Sephora. I'm here. It's hectic. It's mad. You've just got to go with it. As long as you're present when you're with the kids and present when you're in present company, I think that's the best we can do.
And advice for people wanting to get into the beauty world, budding entrepreneurs?
Have a very clear point of view. If you're thinking about being even a makeup artist or developing a product line, get in for the right reasons, know your stuff, research, work in the industry first, like really understand. If you want a long-standing career in this industry, you have to have done your time, the 10,000 hour rule. Right? You know, you're only as good as when you've done the 10,000 hours, and that's when you become a professional. And I think there are so many amazing opportunities in beauty now, from social media, be it on the other side of the camera, the podcast, the content we create online, creating a brand, helping people in a store put their makeup. Like, this, it's amazing how much information and help there is out there now in the beauty world. So there's many different avenues, is probably what I'm saying.
And I mean, people always say there's no such thing as an overnight success. What's gone wrong? What have you learned along the way? What would you do differently if you had your time again, starting with Milk?
So it definitely wasn't an overnight success, because Rossi built Milk 23 years ago, and the whole thing was built around that community and the trust and the creativity and the vibe that is there, and Milk wouldn't exist without that. So to say it's overnight would be a disservice to him and his amazing Milk team, because they've worked so hard at Milk Studios, and it's really an epic place to be. What have we done wrong, or what would we do differently? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, you just live and learn. There's not one thing that I personally would change about it. Yeah, we've made some mistakes. Yeah, we've launched some things. We're like, oh gosh, why did we do that? Did that make sense in that order? You know, we've jumped the gun a lot because we are from the industry. So we've kind of like skipped out the basics almost. But all that is live and learn. And those things just make you bigger, better, bolder, stronger.
Just before we finish, and while I've got you, what are the three beauty rules you live by?
You should not have to sacrifice to simplify, meaning you don't need a complex routine to look great and use great things. always find a steady surface to put an eyeliner on and live your look. Create the look that works for you, not the look that you see hundreds of thousands of other people doing on Instagram.
Too true. Sana, thank you so much.
Thank you. Such a treat to see
you. What fun to chat to you. And God, what a story. I mean, it's phenomenal. I personally can't wait to see what the future holds for Milk Beauty. We will be watching with great interest. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
That's it for this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. We'll be back soon. Bye bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.